Yeah, welcome back. It's Full Court Blitz. We're here with the final blitz at the buzzer. KJ McCurley, Alex Bauman, we've enjoyed having you along so far. And let's get to some SEC news. How about this? John Gruden wants to coach in the SEC, Alex. And for me, I think that makes about as much sense as me auditioning for American Idol. But he says he wants it. I'm just a different age, John. If you say something to tick a kid off, which John Gruden tends to tick people off, there's two things waiting on that kid. More money through NIL at a different school and a portal that makes it so easy to get there. And he's never dealt with that dimension. Alex, is John just bored? Or is there somewhere in the SEC that you think he could legitimately long-term call home? I mean, this was a very good football coach and NFL analyst. What do you think is his actual ability to coach in the SEC long-term?
If Bill Belichick can get a job at North Carolina, I'm sure John Gruden can get a job at the SEC. John Gruden, who won his lawsuit against the NFL when they leaked all those emails and phone calls and text messages, I see him being back in football, whether it's college football or the NFL. He'll get a job. He's that talented, that smart when it comes to just if you watched his quarterback conversations he's had in the film room dating back, feels like over decades. He is so intelligent, one of the smartest minds in football around right now, and I think it'd be idiotic for a team in the SEC that's kind of middling towards the end of the line. Mississippi State, yeah. Arkansas is kind of down right now. You'd be idiotic to not even at least give him a look or an interview.
No, I think I agree. I do believe that John Gruden says a little too much sometimes, but here's my thing with Gruden, that I do think college football would be beneficial for him, whereas the NFL was not. He's not going to have the front office. There's not a front office. You know, there's not a let's go trade for this guy, or I'd like to give up my first and third and this and that, and he's just going to be able to coach. With NIL and everything else, a lot of the booster packages for these kids is handled by the assistant coaches. It's assessed by the athletic department how much they can give, and the coach just says yay or nay on the scheme fit, basically. That's college football now, whether we like it or not. But I think, John, to your point, I think he could find his way into an SEC team that's, you know, just searching for hope. and I think Mississippi State is not too far from that. I mean, obviously, losing the legendary coach
Mike Leach
has still left that program with some doubt. And I really enjoyed Mike Leach as a fan. But on to the next. Chris Deering thinks Oklahoma is a college football playoff team. Now, Alex, don't get me wrong. I think John Mateer can be a baller. And I think Jaden Ott at running back was a great addition to that backfield to help him out. But those guys don't play defense. Danny Strutsman is gone. Let's just go through the schedule very, very quickly. Michigan at Oklahoma, and you know, you can't count Michigan out. Auburn at Oklahoma, and, you know, Auburn up and down, but still, that's a game we can compete in. And then you go on the road to Texas with Arch Manning, and then a South Carolina team who I think might be one of the most underrated teams in football. I love Lenora Sellers. I think he's an all-in athlete, outstanding kid. Then they go home to host Ole Miss. Doesn't get any easier. They go to Neyland Stadium in Tennessee, a tough environment, and then Bryant Denny to play the Tide before the last week of the year hosting LSU. I'm not an Oklahoma hater, Alex, but the playoff standard is usually 10 games, and you're in. It's just really hard to see 10 wins on that schedule. I'm thinking 6-6 could realistically happen for these guys. But, you know, could they win 8, 9, 10 games?
Oklahoma is one of about three or four teams in the SEC that I look at them and I go, this team's either going to make the college football playoff and go 10-2, or they're going to go 6-6 and barely make a bowl game. And it really rides on that offense and the retooling and reworking they've done. You bring in John Mateer to replace Jackson Arnold, who should be an upgrade considering the way Mateer played at Washington State last year. You also bring in Mateer's offensive coordinator from Washington State last year to be his offensive coordinator
that
again.
Was a big thing.
You bring in running back Jaden Ott from California. huge get. Upgrades that running back room immensely. Your receiving room is still kind of thin as is, but you bring in transfers. You still have Deion Burks there. Hopefully he can stay healthy this year. Wasn't really at all last year. You return all five of your offensive linemen, five of those starters. You bring in some transfers, Derek Simmons and Luke Belenko. So you have guys there to help out if they do get injured like they ended up getting injured last year. But the offense is going to be the indication for this team because the defense under Brent Venables is going to be good regardless. It's kind of like the defense at Kirby Smart. He can have a bunch of 3 and 4 stars, even 2 stars out there. You know it's going to be good because of the way he coaches it.
And I believed in the Brent hire. I'm a really big fan of Brent Venables. I think he's a great defensive mind. He was honestly a guy that I wished Auburn would have considered for the job before we ended up hiring Brian Harsin. I think he was the best non-head coach in football when he worked for Clemson under Dabo Swinney as DC. Now he still has his handprints on that defense there. Oklahoma, we'll call him a dark horse team for now, just a nightmare of a schedule. How about the studs and duds? This is the part of the show where me and Alex will give you our weekly – these will update weekly our studs and duds rankings. For me, I've got Mississippi State at 16. They are definitely a dud, just not a lot there. Kentucky, miserable offense at times last year, and Auburn barely beat them. So,
like a lot of teams.
Yeah, exactly. So 15 for Kentucky. I've got Vanderbilt at 14. They're listed as a dud. That can change. Vanderbilt is one of those teams that, I believe in Clark Lee as a coach. I think he can coach his way out of some tough games. And then we go to Missouri at 13, Arkansas at 12. I have at 12 only because they have a few returning pieces on offense, but a lot of reshuffling. So that is subject to drop for them. Oklahoma at 11. We've already talked about them. Tennessee at 10. Tennessee was a team that a lot of people were high on to start of last year. Some quarterback controversy with the young man's last name that I don't ever even try to pronounce.
I just say I'm a Leva because he Leva the program.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. And I think Tennessee, that's about their ceiling is fans are going to leave the stadium. And then we go down into the top. The top nine, and Texas A&M at 9. This could go up. I think Texas A&M has enough playmakers to win a few games, just a tough schedule. I have my Tigers at 8, middle of the pack. I think with everything we got back and everything that we recruited, we're going to be in position to win some more games. I think there will still be 2 or 3 that will be really tough for us. South Carolina at 7. They're one of my 4 dark horse teams. I talked about Lenora Sellers, but there's a lot to like about that South Carolina team. Their highest preseason ranking in quite some time. We'll get to that at another day. Ole Miss at 6. They are the dark horse as well because Lane Kiffin always going to draw up some good offensive plays, Alex. You know, there's enough there in that program. How about Florida at 5? I think Florida is a huge jump from last year this year. I don't think they're going to beat the harder teams on their schedule. However, there were games last year that they could have won, and I think another year for DJ Lagway, I think some of those L's go the other way.
They could have beat Georgia if he didn't get hurt.
Absolutely, I agree with that. They controlled the line of scrimmage in that game. LSU is at 4. They're a dark horse. You know, Nussmeier had a really scary injury. It looked really, really bad, but turns out it's pretty minor, so he's good to go. Alabama is at 3. I think for me as an Auburn fan, to put them this high, it kind of pains me a little bit because it's a year that they're supposed to lose everything and they're still number 3. But make no mistake about it, Kalen DeBoer is a good coach. I think Alabama made a good hire with him, and I also think there's enough to like with the supporting cast. You talk about Ryan Williams and taking college football by storm last year at his young age. Georgia at number 2, I think – Kirby Smart has got a really good thing going, minus all the arrest. and then at number 1, Texas. And this is controversial. A lot of people go up and down between Texas and Georgia. Alex for 1 and 2. I think that Texas gets the edge right now, not just because of Arch Manning, but also they got some athletic pieces in that defense back. And that was an area for Texas before last season that had really, really struggled, much like Oklahoma before they hired Venables. I think that this year's Texas team is as advertised. I don't think they're going to dud out.
I don't think they dud out either, but there are two teams I disagreed with you on this studs or duds list.
Let's hear them.
The first one, I guess we'll start out higher up on the list, being South Carolina up at 7. I have them being a dud this year. I love Lenora Sellers, think he has all the talent in the world. Don't love the running back room. You lose Rocket Sanders to the NFL. That's fair. Was a big part of their game plan last year. Nick Harbor, he's a freak athlete. He's kind of like Quay Russo at Alabama, where he's one of the freakiest players I've ever seen. Lightning fast, super tall. But what do you have outside of him offensively for Lenora Sellers to throw to and get the ball to? That's the question offensively. And then you look defensively. Dylan Stewart, kind of like Lenora Sellers, we know what we get with him. He's going to be a game wrecker, maybe end up being the best defensive player in the country next year. But what's around him? You lose DBs, Nicky Minwari, who's on the Seahawks now, O'Donnell Fortune, who played DB last year, two huge losses in that secondary. You lose defensive end Kyle Kennard, who won the Bronco Nagurski Award last year.
Yes,
good player. So losing those three guys is humongous. You lose guys on the interior as well. The defense has been decimated due to leadership leaving, senior leadership leaving. And I don't think they really addressed that in the portal as well as they should have, being an SEC program. They didn't get that top-level recruit to replace Nicky Minwari at safety and didn't get that game wrecker at defensive tackle to help out Dylan Stewart. This team lacks a lot of weapons, and I think everybody's kind of blinded by Lenora Sellers and how great he is and how freaky Nick Harbor is. They just don't see the ineptitudes of the rest of the team.
Yeah, I agree with that, Alex. South Carolina, one of those teams could go either way. He disagreed with me, but that's okay. We're all for a friendly debate here on Full Court.
And then I have another one, KJ.
Yeah, okay.
I have another disagreement. I actually have Texas A&M higher than you did. I think they can be a dark horse this year. Marcel Reed, he was inconsistent last year, but the offense benefits a quarterback like him, where he can take the short throws. Colin Klein's going to make it easy for him. He has one of the best offensive lines in the country. I talk about Trey Zune, his left tackle, Chase Besantis, an offensive guard there. Those are kind of the mainstays.
How high do you have A&M, just for conversation's sake?
I would say they're right above Florida.
Okay. So you think they could potentially be better than South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Auburn. And that's not out of the realm to say.
And I also think that A&M has the second best running back room in the country behind Penn State. You Le'Veon Moss, Reuben Owens, Amari Daniels, EJ Smith, the receiving core could have improvement there, but you bring in Casey Conception from NC State. So there's improvement on that offense. They have one of the better offensive lines. The defense, it's under Mike Elko. He's a defensive-minded head coach. It had issues last year, bringing some portal guys. You have your linebackers are back for another year under him. The defense will be fine under Elko, and that was the big area of concern for them last year, was the defense.
Yeah, you give up 40-plus to Auburn. I mean, yeah, it's not really a great defense, but I think Mike will have a better year on D.C. this year. Really, you could say LSU on my list at 4 all the way up to Texas A&M at 9. 4 through 9 on either of our lists could pretty much go up or down. Those are those middle-of-the-pack teams fighting for a chance in the playoff. It is 12 teams, so if other conferences bottom out, some chance and some wiggle room there.